From the Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the verdict. The light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light, does not come toward the light, so that his works may not be exposed. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's Gospel begins with the most famous passage in all of Sacred Scripture. A passage that even people who don't know the faith very well seem to know. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish but might have eternal life. Last week, in a jail in Massachusetts, former tight end for the New England Patriots, whose name was Aaron Hernandez, committed suicide. He had signed a $40 million contract at the beginning of his third year, but because of some altercation at a nightclub in Boston, he ended up taking a friend of his to a dump in Attleboro, Massachusetts, in my diocese. And while he was out there in the dump, shot him 6 times and killed his friend. He was eventually tried in Fall River and sent to jail. He had another case of 2 murders that had occurred previously that they thought he was responsible for, and he was found not guilty of those, which was a source of a little bit of joy for him, his fiancée, and their little daughter. But 2 days later, he was found hung in his jail cell. But he had written on his forehead the words John 3:16, and then in his Bible there in his room, he had put 3 notes right there at the 3rd chapter of St. John so that people could find it. How strange it is, what a weird juxtaposition, that as someone is preparing to take his own life, at the same time there is a proclamation, we would say, of hope. That even though he thought his life was miserable, and it seems in the interplay after his suicide, though the contents of those letters has not been revealed, one was to his fiance, another to his daughter. The 3rd letter was to another inmate, 21 years old, whom the other inmates in the prison says was his gay lover, so that it, perhaps the reason for his suicide was because he was struggling with bisexuality or whatever that meant. But regardless, there, as he was preparing to take his own life, it was a proclamation of hope that Jesus had come into the world, not to condemn, but to save. And he was hoping against hope, as schizophrenically as he was clearly doing it, that that same Jesus who had come into the world would save him despite his suicidal act. If a suicide victim were capable of this type of hope in this passage, what about the rest of us? Do we have this same type of confidence in the summation of the gospel that we find here, that so many evangelicals have, who will plaster it on the sides of their football stadium walls and other places. Do we really focus on this? And then can we get beyond the superficial inherence that would find in people like Aaron Hernandez to be able to respond to that great love? Let's break open this passage because it really does summarize the gospel. God so loved the world. It begins with the love of God. St. Paul would say that he didn't even spare his own son but handed him over for us all. God so loved us that he traded his own son's life for us. He gave, he handed over his only begotten son so that everyone who believes in him might not just not perish, might not die, but so much more than that, might have eternal Zoe. Yet, yes, there'd be the prevention of eternal death, but it wasn't just like they were stopping an evil. They were going to give the greatest good, period. Eternal communion with the Lord, because life is knowing God in Christ whom he sent. God so loved the world that he wanted us to be able to know him. And that knowledge happens through our response to God's grace-filled act with faith. It reiterates in a Hebrew couplet what this means. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, so that the world would perish, so that the world would die, but that the world might be saved through him. Salvation means this type of life. And it goes on to particularize the faith. It doesn't just mean that Jesus is Savior. To believe in Jesus means this personal bond of trust. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned, will not perish. Because as Jesus would say with Martha and then Mary, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, whoever lives and believes in me has eternal life. Whoever believes in him will not be condemned. But the greatest condemnation of all is not to believe in the Lord, that you've missed the whole point of human existence. You've missed the key, the secret. Whoever does not believe is already to be condemned because he hasn't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Hasn't really grasped who God is and therefore who he is and what the point of human life is and what a terrible condemnation it is to be lost in that way. So the big test of human life, God has done his part so that we might be saved. He has come to rescue us. The key is whether we're going to respond to that rescue attempt. And we do that by faith, but faith in a concrete way. And St. John puts the two sides. First, the lack of faith. This is the verdict. The light came into the world, but people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. Hell is for those who prefer darkness. When given a choice between Christ and Barabbas in whatever disguise, people choose Barabbas. Doesn't mean that they don't know Jesus. It doesn't mean that they don't recognize him as Savior. It's even acknowledging that they prefer darkness. They choose darkness. They choose sin. That's why sin can be deadly, because it is a choice, deliberate. And why do we and others choose darkness? Because our works are evil. We're ashamed of our works. We don't want everybody, especially God, to know. We follow Adam and Eve behind the bush because we don't want who we really are and what we're really doing to be known. And the devil, the father of lies, the father of darkness, or as Jesus calls the prince of darkness, he wants us to do things in darkness so that through those deeds that we're ashamed to let others know about, we won't come into the light but remain with the deeds in darkness. And in Aaron Hernandez's case, whatever else was going on with regard to the sordid things that he had contemplated or done, at least that are known, those kept secret, and the devil was able to play with that. And if the supposition is true about his bisexuality, that he would have wanted to keep from his fiance, his parents, all his fellow athletes, everything else like this, he took his life rather than come into the light and allow himself to be healed by that Savior he at least partially believed in, but didn't prefer. The flip side, well, let's finish this thought. Everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come toward it so that his works may not be exposed. It's true, as we just explained. But whoever lives the truth comes to the light. That the ultimate act of Christian faith is to live the truth. That our belief in Jesus leads us to live in communion with him who is the truth, the way, and the life. But to live the truth is hard. It means first that we've got to know the truth, and then we've got to prefer it over the easier way. We've got to prefer it over the darkness. We've got to prefer it over evil. St. John Paul II, when he wrote his beautiful document on moral theology, Veritatis Splendor, finished the entire encyclical on martyrdom. We can think the truth is intellectual, and there's clearly an intellectual apprehension that's involved in truth, but it's beyond that, an act of the will, that we choose to conform our life with reality, with God. To live the truth is to live in communion with the truth. And whoever lives in this way comes to the light. Why? So that his works may be clearly seen as done in God. I think that this is one of the real secrets. I'm very happy that, well, back in 2002, the USA Today did a profile of me. They followed me for an entire day and wrote a big piece. It was their attempt at reparation after so many negative stories because of the pre-sex abuse scandal. But over the course of the entire conversation with a Jewish reporter, she took the whole title as Living the Truth, because that's the essence of the Christian life, to live the truth, to live full time. But when we live in this way, we want our works not to be given to us as credit. We want everything we do to be seen as clearly done in God. That we don't do it by our own power. We don't do it by our own wits. We don't do it by our own skill sets. We do it in God, with his help always. One of the easiest ways that the devil tries to trick us is even when we're doing good things. He wants us to gravitate toward the darkness by pretending that we are the causes and the agents of the good that we have done. For somebody who's really believing in Christ, who has come to save, living the truth, going toward the light, we just want all our actions to be seen as done in God, to give witness to God, to testify to our faith, to testify to the fact that we recognize that we are the most loved people around, that God so loved us that he sent his own son to take our place in death row, that he sent his own son as the light of the world to help us come fully into the light, live with him in the truth, so that all that we do and are might be seen as done in communion with him, that we don't do anything on our own. That's the secret of the life. That's what it means to respond in faith. That's the path by which we will never perish. In the first reading today, in this drama that continues in the early church, when the apostles were put in the public jail and the angel came and freed them, he didn't say, go run and hide. He said, go take your place in the temple area and tell the people everything about this life. Go into the light and show people what a life lived in communion with the truth looks like. what that truth is that we're supposed to inflash. And so there they went. The Sanhedrin had tried to keep them in the darkness. It didn't work. And then, at the very end, when they were given the report that the men whom they had put in prison were out in the temple area teaching the people, they sent the captain and the court officers to bring them without force because they were afraid of being stoned by the people. They were constantly living in darkness, living in fear. And we would see what types of deeds of darkness they would continue to try to do. Jesus had come as the Savior, but they preferred darkness to the light. They preferred Barabbas to Christ. They preferred the lie to the truth. They preferred taking credit over their own works of the law rather than allowing all their works to be seen as done in God. They were incapable of that life in the light to which Jesus came to set us free to adopt. Today, as we come forward here at Mass, we remember that God not only so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, but God so loves you and me that he gives his only begotten Son every day so that we might come fully to life, so that we, in communion with the truth, might go with him into the light, so that everything we do and say, every interaction we have, might proclaim him, be seen as done in him. This is the faith in action, which is the Christian life. At the end of our life, even though we won't write on our forehead the passage John 3:16, may everybody be able to see in the type of life that we've lived that we took that passage and the truth behind it to its fulfillment. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.